Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Horn section, jamming. It's a Wednesday edition of the Kenny and JT Show. Trying to track down John Michael, voice of the Cavaliers on Bally Sports. Talk some off-season Cavaliers basketball. Had a lottery pick. Had, three second-round picks. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do free agency-wise. They made the qualifying offer to... I almost called him Richie Sexton. How about that? A blast from the past. The former Indians first baseman outfielder, 6'7" Richie Sexton. Colin Sexton, they made the qualifying offer to him. And now let's see what they're going to do as far as keeping him, waiting to see if anybody makes an offer for him, letting him go, going somewhere else in free agency, working on a sign and trade, all kind of different things. Possibilities with the Cavaliers. And along those lines, JT, don't know if you saw this, and we'll throw this out and then connect with our good buddy John Michael, and that is that the NBA salary cap came in, and it is up $11.6 million at $123.6 million. I don't know if that's going to help. Yeah. Can't hurt the Cavs, right? If you're a team, it's only going to help you.
I don't believe in a salary cap whatsoever. Somehow, some way, they'll find a way to spend as much as they want to, if they decide they want to pay. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, the luxury tax, it's $150 million. So we'll see if that affects the Cavaliers in a positive way. And to talk some Cavs basketball right now, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline. Bring in the outstanding TV voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers, the smartest man in the world that I know, and that would be John Michael. What's up, J. Mike?
How you doing, guys? Apparently you don't know too many people, Kenny, but good to be talking to you.
Well, let's see. There's Brian, there's JT, and you. So there you go. Congratulations on that honor, right?
Yeah. Well, it's something. Isn't it something?
No question about it. J. Mike, let's go back to the season first before we talk off-season with this team. They surprised a lot of people, got off to a great start, dealt with a bunch of injuries, looked like they were going to make the playoffs. Didn't make the playoffs, but made the play-in, came close in both games, and lost. And the season kind of ended on a down note, but a lot of positive did happen. Take me through it from your viewpoint and how you were viewing it as the season was transpiring and then when it came to an end.
Well, I think that was a pretty good summary, Kenny, and I think the Cavs took a lot of folks by surprise in the first few months of the season, including themselves. You know, when you think back, Kenny, at this time, not at this time, but maybe in a couple of months heading into last season, we saw that schedule come out, and it was brutal, the first 25 games. You know, we were thinking if the Cavs can go 10-15 over their first 25, they're going to be in decent shape. But, boy, they came out firing and playing a different look, right? They came out with 3 7-footers in the starting lineup. They took a lot of teams by surprise, and by the time they hit the All-Star break, they were still clicking along pretty good, and they were in good shape, right around the top four in the Eastern Conference. But those injuries were devastating. They lost Evan Mobley for a couple of different stretches. Let's not forget, too, Ken, of course I was going to get to the point where they lost Jared Allen down the stretch right up until the end. So you're missing two of those 7-footers, and that was the backbone of what this team was about. But I started to say, let's remember, too, that the Cavs lost two of their top three guards coming into the year for the season, right? I mean, after a handful of games, they lost both Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio, and the addition of Rubio was sensational. I mean, he was off the charts in anchoring that second unit, and it was a really, really promising mix, and unfortunately got derailed by those injuries, and it didn't end the way anybody wanted it to. And you would have loved, boy, to get that first round of playoff experience under some of these kids' belts, but it didn't happen. Now they come back. They make a few changes, perhaps, around the fringes. They have some players who they brought in, like Caris LeVert. Let's see if he can be a part of this rotation and fit a little more smoothly. The Cavs didn't have a lot of time to assimilate him to what they were doing. and we'll see what happens as they come out of the gate. One thing for sure, though, guys, they're not going to catch anybody by surprise
right, like
they did last season. I mean, this is a team to be reckoned with. People know that in the Eastern Conference, and the Cavs are going to have to deal with that from game one.
Jay, Mike, they may not catch them by surprise, but have they changed the atmosphere of Cleveland as far as maybe a landing spot for a, I'm not going to say a high-profile free agent, but I mean, you know, we've always heard, you know, it's not a landing spot, it's not a big market, it's not Miami, it's not Boston, New York. We get that. But when you make a trade and you bring in a Caris LeVert, and he pretty much says, I love it here, I want to be a part of this, and I like this growing process, a young team, JB Bickerstaff, is there a different vibe now going on about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I hope so. And, you know, I think over the last couple of years, we've heard it more and more out of players who have moved around. It's a lot less about the city, and it's a lot more about the place where you're going to be playing and how they treat their players and how the coach interacts with those players. And since JB Bickerstaff has taken over, it's been a beautiful thing. It really has. And hopefully the ramifications are, JT, that, yeah, it will become a landing spot. Now, for those, you know, hoping that it happens this summer, I don't think this is the right summer for free agents. We'll see how the next couple of weeks play out and if the Cavs make any additions, if they're ready to make any moves, considering the crop of free agents who are out there right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, heading into the future, one would hope that if the Cavs continue this rise and they continue to get the kind of talk about this organization that it's now getting around the league, that, sure, it's going to be a place where veterans – want to play, and it's had that, you know, people have talked about the Cavs that way over the last few years, and I expect that to continue.
One of those veterans that you talk about is Ricky Rubio. We understand the Pacers have his bird rights. Didn't play one game after the trade. We didn't expect him to with the knee injury. The Cavaliers targeting to bring back Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, and neither did the Pacers. You know, that was just the understanding of the way it was going to work, and that Ricky was done for the season. And this season, he wouldn't be expected to play until around December. But I don't think there's any question that if the price is right, Ricky Rubio, you know, would be a Cavalier if the front office had anything to do with it. And frankly, Ricky, you know, by his own admission, when he was acquired by the Cavs, was thinking, oh, brother, you know, I'm at a stage in my career. I'm coming off the Olympics where he was just spectacular, named to the, you know, the final five, the top five in the Olympics over the summer, going back to a team that a lot of people thought, well, you know, they're in a rebuild. It's going to be a long way to go for this team to get back where they want to be. But with the start, and again, another veteran coming to this organization and enjoying what this organization gave to him, I think there's a lot of mutual interest. And boy, I'd love to bring Ricky Rubio back, as would a lot of Cavs fans. We saw it, guys, the way that he was able to orchestrate that second unit. You know, JB played him right alongside of Darius Garland, and they played flawlessly. I mean, the off-court and on-court numbers when those two were together were fantastic, something you might not expect defensively from Rubio and Garland being out there together. But it was something that worked, and boy, that would be a huge, huge boost for this team. They can bring Ricky back again. He's not going to be able to start the season, but to pick him up in the middle of the year, be able to sign him again, I think would be great for this organization.
Jay, Mike, can they afford to wait on him, though? As we saw down the stretch, they missed out on making the playoffs by just a few games, so you're talking 2 months' worth of basketball there. Can you afford to wait on Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, it's part of the question, right, Kenny? And I think the price tag, too, is going to have a lot to do with it.
Yep.
I think a lot of teams looked at how Ricky affected this Cavs team and would say, man, I'd love to have Ricky Rubio, even if it's from December on. Just like the Cavs, right? And, I mean, teams that may be even closer to winning championships. So that's going to come into play. How much money Ricky's going to be able to dictate on the open market, that's going to be a big part of this. So, yeah, does it go into the equation? Sure it does, Ken. But, again, I think if the number's right, Cavs will say, fine, we'll take Ricky Rubio from December on.
All right, let me ask you one last question about this past season, and we'll go to the offseason. The seven-footers, playing three of them, at the same time when they had everybody healthy, Jared Allen at center, Evan Mobley at the four, and Lowry Markkanen at the three.
Yeah.
All right? It worked while they were healthy for a while there. But looking at today's NBA, J. Mike, all right, did teams adjust to it? Was it just the injuries? Can it still work at the highest level, meaning in the playoffs and winning a championship? Or do you have to reconsider that starting the 3 7 footers because of what we saw in the finals, and there really wasn't a true center on either team?
good question. But remember, Kenny, when we were talking in October, we were asking the same thing. We were saying, no, first of all, can this work? The NBA is not trending in this direction. And really, until the injuries hit, nobody did figure it out. I mean, now a big part of this, too, remember, the Cavs have two special seven-footers in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in terms of being able to be versatile and move their – I mean, these aren't ordinary seven-footers, right? We're not talking about plotting guys out there. And Lauri Markkanen, asked to play a new position, held his own, right? He had his ups and downs throughout the season, but he held his own for the most part when they were out there. And before the injuries, Cavs had a great record, Ken. You know, so I think – I don't know the answer to that question. Some have said if you get in a seven-game series, is it easier to figure out? I'm not sure what the answer to that is. But if the Cavs, again, they're looking to bring in some new – you know, we saw the addition of Caris LeVert. We saw the drafting of Ochai Agbaji, you know, bringing in wing players, looking to get some more threat from that wing position. Who knows, even if that's the starting lineup, Ken, right, who knows how they're going to finish? And I think JB's the man to make adjustments. If it gets figured out, will they adjust? Yeah, they're going to make adjustments. But let's not forget how difficult it was to score on this Cavalier team with Mobley at the four and Allen at the five. You know, and defense is something we haven't talked about around here for years. Right? I mean, even stretching back to the finals trips, this team wasn't making its bones defensively. They did last season with a top five defense in big part because of those seven footers. So I'd love to find out, right? I mean, it's something that nobody else is doing. It's something that other teams sure didn't figure out in the first half of the season when this Cavs team was healthy.
Jay, Mike, the progression of this team, and you think about Darius Garland, and he was pretty decent in his second year. I think he averaged like 17 points. He ends up having an all-star season last year. Can Isaac Okoro turn things around in his third year and maybe, not maybe be an all-star, but really be more competitive?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. And I think some were hoping that Okoro would make that jump from first to the second season. But when you look at a player like Garland, and let's not get this mixed up, JT, they're wildly different players, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they do wildly different things. But it was that third season when Garland made that big step. When you look at those lottery picks that the Cavs had, you know, in a row, Sexton, Garland, Okoro, Mobley, guys who only played one season, in Garland's case, only a handful of games at the collegiate level, guys who came in at the age of 19 or 20. So, yeah, would you want, obviously, a big jump here between two and three for Okoro? I think so. I think defensively they were comfortable with where he was. Remember, again, on most nights, he got the most difficult assignment on the defensive end of the floor. So, yeah, are they hoping he can hit those open shots? Yeah. Has he been working on that nonstop during the offseason? Of course, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what they sent him away to do, and they said, hey, when you come back, here's where we want you to be better. He knows it. Also attacking off the dribble. Remember, he's pretty good
right.
doing that, guys.
Yep.
He just doesn't do it a whole lot, you know, in the Cavaliers' offense as it was. So, you know, again, we'll see how it plays out. Boy, and Okoro, who already helps you defensively, if he can give you a little bit more offensively, you know, and that's no, we're not, it's not rocket science, right? We've been talking about that for a while. If he comes back in his third season, gives a little more, all the better for this Cavalier team.
John Michael, our guest via the Wake 'em Way Hotline, Cavs TV voice, talking about the season that was. And now let's move into this offseason. And the first move in the offseason was selecting between Malachi Branham, Ochai Agbaji, and some other players at number 14 in the lottery, and they went with Ochai Agbaji. We had him on the show the other day. Love the kid. He was the more ready player, J. Mike, right, at age 22 versus maybe the more potential player in Malachi Branham, available from Ohio State at age 19. Your thoughts on going in the direction of the older, more ready-to-plug-and-play guy?
Well, it's different, isn't it? I mean, again, I just listed the last four lottery picks, all one and dones, all younger players. I think the Cavs are in a slightly different spot in terms of their, you know, where they are right now in terms of looking at the season, right? I mean, we saw what this team could do last year. Now bringing in a guy who's ready at this point, you know, to potentially crack this rotation would be huge, you know, and they – previously, they had time to bring a 19-year-old along if they needed to do so. Now to bring in a guy who's played four seasons, who only seems to get better and better, who brings with him something the Cavs sorely need, more outside shooting, I think it's great. And I, too, like you, Kenny, love the young man. You know, met him when he was introduced at an opening press conference And he looks ready. And like I said, you know, he's played four seasons for Bill Self at a big-time program. He's gotten better and better. He nearly, you know, was a player of the year last season in college, consensus first-team All-American, most outstanding player in the Final Four. So he's been good in big moments, and we'll see how his game translates to the NBA. Remember, too, Ken, the Cavs are picking at 14, right? They weren't picking top five or top eight, really, if you stretch back to Sexton like they've had over the last four seasons. So to make a little bit of a shift and to say, yeah, I'm going to take a guy who might be able to step into the rotation right away, I think makes a lot of sense at that point. So we'll see. I like Obagi. I like what he brings. I like that he can shoot the basketball, and yeah, hopefully he can crack the rotation out of camp.
Yeah, I like him too. I like his physical makeup. I think he's going to be a solid defensive player. Ones, twos, and threes, I think he can guard. So we'll see if he can make the transition from college to the pros, more than likely coming off the bench. But it sounds like he's a hard worker and will do whatever the coach asks of him. Jay, Mike, they picked up the or they made the qualifying offer for Colin Sexton at about, I think, $7.5 million, whatever it is. So it covers the Cavaliers from the standpoint of this. He's a restricted free agent. If another team out there were to offer him a contract, the Cavaliers would have a week, I think it is, to match the offer to keep him or sign him to, you know, their own contract, you know, depending on what his value is. What are you hearing about, you know, Colin Sexton? And are they close maybe to an extension and not waiting on somebody to possibly sign him to an offer sheet?
Yeah, well, first things first. I mean, I don't think anything the Cavs have done contractually over the last few weeks comes as a surprise, you know, with Dean Wade or with Colin Sexton or what they've done with a number of players. You know, they figured this was the way it was going to go. And I know there's mutual interest, Ken. I know Colin was dying to be a part of what this team was doing down the stretch last season. We saw how the Cavs could use another player who can create his own shot over those last, what was it, 6 weeks or so, when the Cavs were dealing with those injury situations, couldn't go with the, you know, the 3 7-footers in there, needed some more scoring at spots, and the front office wants to bring him back as well. So again, you knew this is how it was going to play out. I guess it's a wait and see thing at this point, but I know the interest is mutual. The Cavs want Colin to come back. And we even saw Colin at the end of the season. You know, he was getting up some shots. His season was over. I mean, there was no doubt that he was done for the year. But he was around this team, wanted to be with them, and I know he wants to be with them coming into this season. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. The big dollar, the almighty dollar, is going to tell. But hopefully, you know, for the Cavs, Colin Sexton's back in the mix once again.
Jay, Mike, is there a strong interest from another team in the NBA for Colin Sexton?
I'm sure there is, JT. I'm sure. I mean, we see a million rumors a day, right? Mm-hmm. You guys see a million rumors a day about teams that have interest. But, yeah, I mean, to have a young guard, yes, is he coming off of an injury? He is, but, you know, he's only 4 years into his NBA career. He's just 23 years of age. As J.B. Bickerstaff said, he can get 20 points falling out of bed, and that's a big commodity in the NBA, and I'm sure a lot of teams are interested. So, you know, the Cavs at this point, wait and see. We'll see if there's an offer sheet. We'll see how this plays out. But like I said, I know Colin wants to come back. I know the Cavs would love to have him.
Jay, Mike, this offseason, I don't know what their cap situation is as of right now. Don't know if you do, but I think maybe they have a mid-level that they could possibly use. If so, what do you think they're looking for? Is it that veteran point guard that you know, Ricky Rubio gave them last year, and maybe they can't wait till December or January for him? Is it a backup center? Even though they have 3 7-footers, or what do you think they need and maybe could use
maybe
in free agency?
How about maybe even Rondo?
Well, I mean, those are the two positions that you've heard mostly, right? I mean, backup point guard and backup center. So, again, I think we're going to see how it plays out. I think part of it, though, guys, is, you know, when you look into free agency talks, like a Ricky Rubio would be the wild card, right? If they think they can get Rubio back, then I think they're comfortable there. And then you look at players who are available and the price tags, right? I mean, this isn't, and I'm not, you know, this isn't anything negative against the current free agents, but you look around at this free agent crop, and it's not the best from the last couple of seasons. Do you want to spend that kind of money on a player like that? And also, guys, don't forget, too, Cavs still can use shooting, right? You can never have too much of that on this team, and we know that quite well. So to get a wing who's a knockdown shooter or can make this team better offensively from a percentage perspective, I think it's something this team can look for. So I think there are a lot of options right now. I think the Cavs have shown you that they're pretty comfortable running it back, quote unquote, from last season for the most part with what they had, because they would love to see what this looks like completely healthy. You know, bring in a few more reinforcements if they can because of the injury possibility. But I think they're comfortable with what they had. I don't think they go crazy in free agency this summer. I don't think it's the summer to do so and attack and to spend a lot of money to try to do whatever, you know, improve the team this year. But perhaps next year might be the time to do so. So personally, you know, not knowing anything what the front office is going to do, I wouldn't look for a lot of free agency moves. But, you know, obviously if Kobe Altman can make this team better for the right price at this particular moment where this team is in the landscape that is the NBA, he's going to go out and do it.
All right, J. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on what transpired in the NBA Finals. Boston versus Golden State. Boston goes up 2-1. Golden State, like they did against the Cavaliers in 2015, run off three straight, cut down the Nets for the fourth time. Your thoughts on what you saw there, and how far away are we, the Cavaliers, from being a championship contender?
Well, when the three of us previewed that series coming in, the thing that, I don't know if worried me is the right verb, but the thing that concerned me if I was a Boston fan was that Boston didn't have a lot of NBA Finals experience, right? Meanwhile, right. Golden State has all kind of NBA Finals experience. And after three games, and Steve Kerr, of course, who's been there before, Golden State was able to figure it out. And to me, coming in, what I said to you guys was, outside of Jason Tatum, I'm not sure I trust any of the other Celtics in a big spot, particularly as the series gets harder. And unfortunately, it was Tatum who struggled, particularly offensively, to get it going, and that seemed to affect the rest of the team. Didn't surprise me much. You know, again, going in, Golden State does what they do, and, you know, everybody knows the way to counter them if you can. If you can go big and you can play big ball against Golden State and be able to weather the storm defensively, that's how you get it done. You slow the game down. You know, that team's not all that different than the one that the Cavs beat in 2016, particularly the big-time players. So we know what the formula would be to beat them. I just don't think Boston had the personnel healthy, and the Bucks have been able to take out the Celtics. Middleton been healthy, and the Bucks have been able to take out the Celtics. I think that would have been a problem for Golden State. I think Golden State caught a big break that Boston was there, and credit to the Warriors. They took advantage. As for the Cavs, we'll see, right? This is a big season, Kenny. I think we're going to learn a lot. I really do, because, again, like I said, I think the Cavs were happy with what they had last season. I think they're going to make some additions. I think they're going to have more time for this team to work on the chemistry that at times was gorgeous last year, right? That at times really seemed like it was clicking along. Once the injuries began, it got a little clunky, right? So these are the things that this team's going to work on. And I think by March or by April, we're all going to have a lot better answer of how close this team can be. But I'm excited. I think it's a promising roster. The jump made by Darius Garland, you mentioned that JT, was phenomenal. I don't know who could have possibly expected him to be that good in his third season. Evan Mobley, I don't care what anybody says, was the rookie of the year, not Scotty Barnes. He was phenomenal. He's going to be a terrific player. Hopefully he has a little more chip on his shoulder. A healthy Jared Allen means trouble inside. So I like the way this team feels, the way they look, the way they play together, the way they play for JB, and hopefully it spells good things coming into this season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the season as well, and looking forward to watching you call it on Bally's. We appreciate the time. And, Jay, Mike, I think we're going to have to make a wager for the first college football game of the season this year, okay. Somehow, some way here, the next time we get you on the show. How's that?
I think we can do that. Hey, with Brian Kelly gone, I'm ready to wager now. I'm ready to go.
Ohio State and Notre Dame kick off the season. And J. Mike, a Notre Dame guy. My son Cameron graduated from the Ohio State, and it is trademark the Ohio State. I think I just got fined $5 for saying it that way. But we'll make that wager and see at that point in time if the Cavaliers have made any moves in free agency. J. Mike, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for making it for us, and enjoy your summer.
Yeah, always good to catch up, guys. You enjoy your summer as well. Thanks.
There is the smartest man I know, John Michael, the TV voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, he was a lawyer once, JT.
Yeah.
That
you want to know Michael. How smart he is? When the Guardians needed somebody to pinch hit for Tom Hamilton, they went to Tim Alcorn. Tim Alcorn while he was on the trip with them. They were like 7-1, but ever since then, they're 4-6. J. Mike,